Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this 21st day of April, 2023. Welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone, joining us on the recording, and glad to have you each in fellowship today. Pray God has blessed you abundantly in this past week. And praise his name for bringing us healthfully and safely to another fellowship in Christ's name. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song is titled, Will Your Anchor Hold? Kind of an old hymn that's still pertinent today. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
If safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand, and the cables passed from his heart to mine, and if I bear a blast all through strait divine, the billows roll, fastened to which cannot move, and deep in the Savior's love.
It will firmly hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers have told the reef is near. Though the tempests rave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark o'erflow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
It will surely hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill our latest breath. On the rising tide it can never fail, while our hopes abide within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
When our eyes behold in the dawning light shining gates of pearl, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast to the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Amen. Love is the key. It's like the glue that binds us to Christ and also Christ to us. We can keep all the commandments, but if it's not based on love for Christ, we're going to be lost. So that anchor that holds us to the Savior is our love for Him. And His love for us is firm. It will never fail. And what an infinite love He has. It's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for us?
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to meet once again, to have a continued probationary time this week, to recognize something more of your character every day in the book of nature, but especially in the book of Revelation, and especially in the manifestation of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to do this. And Holy Spirit, thank you for not leaving any who yearn for something more than this world has and affords, for something more that even the closest people to you believe they're offering you that goes directly contrary to the plan of redemption. Help us, help these dear souls that don't even know they're in Babylon, don't even know they're blind. Help us, help them see there are answers to life's pertinent questions that we all ask in different stages of life, under different circumstances, and in all ages, are covered in the book, the Bible. Bible instructions before leaving Earth. Thank you for making the internet possible for us each to be able to connect in this way, and also through the phone. We are grateful that precious time has been granted us for a whole another week to be better acquainted with the facts of faith, to know what it means to continue in the truth, the past, and present truth, and in preparation for future truth yet to be revealed. We pray that this very meeting will be that very thing, that it will contribute to us growing in truth, and hence, like a domino effect, affect our sanctification in the truth, because a better grasp of it is ours. We also uphold those that are mourning the loss of loved ones, and a brother that was recently baptized. not long ago and losing a loved one, that he'll remember those precious truths that were shared with him that he didn't know before about the state of the dead and the reality of the resurrection of the just and unjust. That there's a time coming when all will acknowledge that where they've ended up, God is good. Just and true are his ways, King of Saints. Thank you for not leaving us as if we don't have a caring Father or an all-powerful Savior and an all-comforting Holy Spirit when we do. And it's constant, no matter what comes our way. Even death, that is very encouraging. From the first breath we take to the last. Help dear souls that have never kept Sabbath before. Start keeping it, who have been impressed about it. That even if it means they're in hospital or somewhere else where they're simply being put out of where they normally would be. Well, take the time to get to know God through his word, as well as the book of nature, but especially through a willingness on their part to recognize it's the heart and mind that must be given before God can do anything. And it's only a willing one that God makes it possible to receive such gifts. Continue to be with our precious brothers and sisters abroad, thanking you for the newsletter, the latest newsletter from Light Ministries, sharing ins and outs, different things that have happened over the last 3 months or so, and the blessings of grace that they are so clearly, abundantly rich in, that encourage us and give us faith and hope to press on. May every need they have to continue this great work in their own country, continue to affect our hearts as we keep them in prayer, and they have what they need to continue to be faithful unto the end. Bless our dear brother, sister, and leading out. Thank you so much for health and life and the opportunity to know you more by correcting things that are not yours, so that we can just be more of Jesus's. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. We are continuing in our study book, Prophets and Kings. This is chapter 12, dealing with Elisha the Tishbite. And it's subtitled From Jezreel to Horeb. And we left off about two-thirds of the way down on page 164 to the paragraph that starts out, For the Disheartened. And the last thing that we were discussing was areas in which the devil can work within us to cause doubt, discouragement, hopelessness, and cause us to forget how God has led us in the past, which would bring courage and dependency and faithfulness and trust and everything else. So if the devil can lead us away from thinking of God and what he's done for us in the past to instead thinking of ourselves or what someone did to us, or that just keeps us farther away from the strength and the divine power that will keep us steadfast to God. And so hope and courage and trust and faithfulness are essential if we want to serve God to the best of our ability. And all of this is based upon faith. If we have faith in God, hope springs eternal. Courage goes right along with it. Faithfulness to God because of his faithfulness to us is part of it. These are all dependent on faith. But if we lose our faith, we have no anchor. And so we've gone through and shown how the devil hit Elijah with all of these temptations right at his weakest point. Not at the strongest point, at his weakest point. He was very tired. He was awakened out of sleep, probably rudely, you know, not gently shaken. Hey, Elijah, hey, I got a message for you. You know, it was, oh, there you are. Well, you know, and in that type of a weakened state, mentally and physically, Elijah didn't make the best decisions, and faith gave way to despondency, and he ran for his life, completely forgetting how God had protected his life miraculously for some 3 years or more. And any one of us can fall into that same type of a weakened position in which faith is let go of and we have no anchor. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. So that's where we left off. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. For the disheartened, there is a sure remedy. Faith, prayer, work. Faith and activity will impart assurance and satisfaction that will increase day by day. Are you tempted to give way to feelings of anxious foreboding or utter despondency? In the darkest days, when appearances seem most forbidding, fear not. Have faith in God. He knows your need. He has all power. His infinite love and compassion never weary. Fear not that he will fail of fulfilling his promise. He is eternal truth. Never will he change the covenant he has made with those who love him. And he will bestow upon his faithful servants the measure of efficiency that their need demands. The Apostle Paul has testified. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. So what's the remedy for being disheartened or downcast or depressed or fearful, lacking faith? What's the remedy?
Keep looking up.
Yes, but it's more than that. The remedy for disheartenment is faith, prayer, and work. Why is work there? I mean, we understand faith, okay? God said it. It's going to take place. You'll grant me patience. We understand prayer. Lord, help me. I'm going through a tough time right now. We understand faith and prayer, but why is work there?
Because it's a lot of work to work through it.
It takes all you've got, all your faith and prayer in God to work through an infirmity and to keep smiling.
Amen, amen. But again, that type of a work is exercise, it's an exercise of mental dependence on God. But the work here that's being discussed, I think, is more than just mental work. It's an actual activity. It's an exercise of faith. Any other thoughts or comments?
Well, it says, when I am weak, then I am strong, and you are strong because you have faith in God, and he's the strongest person that ever lived.
True, true. And amen. A comment in the room says to live out the faith and prayers. So here we're not talking about a faith that is passive. We're talking about a faith that is active. So faith combined with activity will impart assurance and satisfaction that will increase day by day. So it's faith being put into action. And it's that activity in living out your faith, in going forward in full assurance that God has heard your prayer and he will grant it, that will bring about greater assurance, greater hope, greater trust, greater appreciation day by day. So we can see here that being disheartened may be something that's not overcome in the first day. It may be a process. It may occur over a week in time. But the way to lessen being downcast and disheartened is by adding activity with your faith. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go door knocking, although that is a part of being active, living out your faith. You're sharing your faith with others. But it just means you put into activity your faith. So, I mean, you may be stuck at home. Well, you can get on the phone and talk to others that, you know, with the motive of leading them to Christ or revealing Christ to them. That's putting into activity your faith and relying upon God to remove your depressed spirits or your downheartedness. So this is not talking about being like a couch potato in a spiritual sense. This is talking about putting efforts in conjunction with your faith that God has heard your prayer and is granting it or has already granted it. You know, it's like a person that recognizes their faith is weak, and so they ask God to increase their faith. And then they wait for God to increase their faith. It's almost like they're waiting for a delivery man to deliver a package, and they open it up and all of a sudden their faith is 10 times greater than it was before. But God doesn't work in that way. He's heard our prayer. He recognizes our faith is weak. And so then he allows various situations or circumstances or tests or trials to come to us, so that we may exercise our faith in God's ability to deliver us and gain for us the victory, And thus our faith through that exercise becomes stronger. So God has heard our prayer. He's increasing our faith, but it's connected with a trial or a circumstance or something along that line. So when you find that your heart is downcast, you're disheartened, you're depressed, you're fearful about the future, and you ask God to help you get through this, become active. Don't be docile. Be active. Do something. And that will impart assurance, satisfaction. Faith will grow because you're now showing that you believe God has answered your prayer. And you're going forward now in the direct opposite of what a depressed person would do. A depressed person would just sit back and be more depressed. So if you've asked God to remove your depression, you need to believe that he's heard your prayer, that he's granted your request, and then you go forward in the opposite direction of depression. And working for others, helping others, is a great way to get your mind off of yourself and your depression and now focused on God and helping others. Comment in the room. Amen. Perfect remedy for depression, and that is to work for others. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments?
Yeah, I was just reminded of that quote. Ellen White says, the latter rain may be falling on all around people who are not receiving it because they're just waiting for something to change the way that they think. Their motives, their actions, but they're waiting for it, but they're not doing anything on their part to receive what God's already got almost impatiently ready to give. And it just goes to show, because I think it's in this paragraph, it says, never will he change the covenant he has made with those who love him. So there's this active relationship going on, not just in prayer with faith, but it's action, because our God is a God of action, and we were made in his image. He's trying to restore that image in us.
You might have heard this story before, but we used to have a singing group when my children were teenagers and their friends, and some adults were part of it. And we went right after church on Sabbath to the nursing home to sing to the patients there. And I had a horrible migraine headache. And I was tempted to just say, I'm sorry, I can't go. But then I thought, if I don't go, then all of the patients that are expecting us, because we went every Sabbath most of the time, there's not going to be a leader, and I'm the leader, so I have to go. And I didn't say, God, please take away my migraine. I just went. And I noticed toward the end of the program, which was singing and talking to the patients, my headache was gone. It was absolutely gone. And I thought about it when I was out in the car getting ready to go home. My headache was absolutely gone. I praised the Lord for it. Right after I discovered it was gone, it came back with a vengeance because I was going home, I guess. But God's work had been done for that day. The patients were not disappointed. And the teenagers and the adults, everyone in the group was blessed because they were out working for God and spreading his truth through all the little hymns that are mini sermons in each one of it. But it didn't linger until the next day when I laid down and went to sleep. It went away. So praise God for that. But he absolutely sees every situation. And he already answers your prayers before you even give them.
Amen. Amen. So we see here that having faith in God is not something that's to be separate from activity. So if you've asked God for extra grace, then go forth in the assurance that he's granted you extra grace and it will be yours. So it's the activity in harmony with your faith and prayer that allows you to recognize that God has granted your request and has given you what you've asked for. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones." So if you're depressed, there's little that you can see to be happy. If you've asked God to remove the depression, then you have to manifest a merry heart. That's acting in harmony with your faith that God has heard your prayer and granted it. So if you really believe that, then there's no more reason to dwell in depression. You can be happy that God has heard your prayer and has granted it. So now, instead of a depressed heart, you now have a merry heart, a happy heart. And it's that manifestation of faith. It's that exercise of faith that changes your whole outlook. And of course, it's God's divine power, his miracle working grace that comes through you and brings about the change, because you can't do it yourself. But you can decide to do it and act on your decision. It's God giving you this grace and the strength to actually act, but it's your decision to act. God can't decide for you, and he's not going to drag you. You have to make the decision to act. And as soon as you do, it's God's grace that gives you the ability to take that step, to continue taking that step, to overcome the depression, and now you're happy. All because you've acted on your faith. Any other thoughts or comments, Drew? You know, Ellen White talks about individuals that are depressed in spirit or downcast, or they just don't feel like being a Christian. You know, they may have had a restless night's sleep or a bad day or whatever it may have been. She says, force a smile on your face. And so you have to decide to smile. God's not going to force that smile on your face. You have to put it there. Now, Ellen White didn't go into all the details of how the different chemicals are released in the body that brings about a happy state or a depressed state, depending on what you do. But science has proven that if you put a smile on your face, even though you don't feel like smiling, your body will react in releasing different chemicals, endorphins or whatever it may have been, that will change the way your body feels. And so just putting a smile on your face, even though it may be fake, you know, will work in your system to bring a change from depression to happiness. It's quite amazing. And she wrote that over 100 years ago, before science even knew that there were chemicals that would induce happiness in the system or sadness and depression. Yeah. Practice smiling, yes. So we need to exercise our faith in order for changes to appear, to come. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
It's amazing when you realize God can connect to your thoughts that you're not saying to anyone. Only God knows, but he connects with them and he takes action to take care of you. And when you stop and think about it, you'd be amazed how many times your life has been changed by God reading your thoughts.
Amen. And that thought to pray to God, where did that come from? Amen. So who would like to read the next paragraph?
Must be the one with the arrow. Did God forsake Elijah in his hour of trial? No, no. He loved his servant no less when Elijah felt himself forsaken of God and man than when, in answer to his prayer, fire flashed from heaven and illuminated the mountaintop. And now, as Elijah slept, a soft touch and a pleasant voice spoke, awoke him. He started up in terror as if to flee, fearing that the enemy had discovered him. But the pitying face bending over him was not the face of an enemy, but of a friend. God has sent an angel from heaven with food for his servant. Arise, eat, said the angel. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals and a cruse of oil, or a cruse of water at his head.
Amen. Amen. So here Elijah had lost faith, had forgotten the past, and had fled for his life. And the confirmation, the crowning act of a revival was lost. But even though Elijah had failed in that hour of trial, God did not love Elijah any less. He still loved him the same, even when Elijah had failed the test. God loved him the same as he loved him when Elijah was standing at his post of duty and fire came down and consume the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the water in the ditch. So God's love for Elijah didn't change. It remained the same. You know, a lot of times we're tempted that when someone fails us in some way, that this somehow lessens our love for them. And there's always that temptation to come in saying, well, I love you a little less today than I did yesterday because look at what you're doing now. But God's love is unfailing. Now, of course, God was disappointed in Elijah. He had other plans to carry out if Elijah hadn't have failed. But that didn't affect how God loved Elijah. And God manifested this love for Elijah by sending an angel to give him food and water. What kind of food was it? It was a baked cake of bread. Bread from heaven and water from heaven. What symbology is connected with bread and water from heaven? Amen. Amen. So Elijah's physical life needed physical bread and water. And Elijah's spiritual life needed spiritual bread and water. God provided both. It wasn't just Elijah's physical health that was in danger. It was also his spiritual health. He had failed his test. His spiritual health was in danger. God provided that for him. God will do the same for each one of us. So the devil, you know, comes in and says, wow, you made a gigantic blunder there. God doesn't love you anymore. You failed him. But here we see that the devil is a liar. God's love for Elijah was still as strong as it was when Elijah was faithful. God was still looking out for Elijah's physical and spiritual health. But when God sent the angel to Elijah, what was the first thing he thought of? He thought this heavenly messenger was an enemy. And he was about ready to flee for his life again. But notice how he was awoken. It wasn't with a messenger yelling at him or roughly treating him or shaking him away. It was with a soft touch and a pleasant voice. Can you think of someone else who God had sent a messenger to and he felt it was an enemy? Yeah, Joshua, that's true. Although Joshua asked, are you an enemy or a friend? Yeah, amen. Jacob, when Christ himself came down to comfort Jacob and to let him know his sin was forgiven, he thought that this messenger was Esau. Or some enemy that Esau had sent to kill him, to assassinate him. So God recognizes that word flesh, that when a thought comes into our mind, it can color our whole thinking, and thus we mistake his kindness for unkindness or severity. We think his messengers are an enemy to us, when in fact they're exactly what we need in order to overcome that situation. But anyways, Elijah carefully looked at this messenger. In other words, he examined him. And instead of seeing the face of an enemy, someone bent on his destruction, he saw a pitying face. And he recognized it was a friend. And of course the angel then said, arise and eat, for the journey is too hard for thee. Although we haven't got there yet. So God, in manifesting his love for Elijah, sent this gift by his own messenger. And there was bread and water from heaven. Christ, the bread of life. Christ, the water of life. True. Comment room says the devil works on our mind. Amen. He gets a thought in our mind, and if we dwell on that thought, then our emotions get involved in it. And now everything in our mind is colored towards that particular understanding. Elijah fled for his life. He's in fear. So everything now is focused on being afraid. All his emotions are in a flight mode instead of resting in a peaceful mode by depending upon God. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
Sometimes I can't sleep at night. The thoughts are whirling around in my head, and I just start singing a little song to Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. And pretty soon, those thoughts are gone, and I fall asleep. Praise the Lord.
Amen, sis. That's encouraging to hear. I was talking to my brother this week while he was staying with my mum at the hospital. And I've heard this before. One lady was telling me at the door in Redcliffe like half a year ago or so, and they're saying, oh, they can read your mind, James. That's how dangerous things are getting. They can read your mind. I said, look at me. Don't let anyone ever think that anyone can overrule your free will in your conscience. They might do things with your body, but they can't override your conscience. And so whatever it is that they might put you under the influence of, okay, that's going to affect you. But Johnny, my brother, was explaining, oh, they even think that. I said the same to him. And I wanted him to, because he's really believing, because he's unbelieving about a lot of things, including the Bible at this stage. And, he was just trying to really, he was preaching to me, although that's where they're heading in that. And I don't doubt if I said, I know, I'm sure the devil would love to have that power, but he doesn't. But if he can get you to think he does, he's won. So let's give it to God. He can be safely trusted.
Amen. So notice here that when God sent a messenger to Elijah, the messenger didn't reprove Elijah for running out from his post. He didn't chastise him for lacking faith. Why?
Maybe he didn't want to discourage him.
Amen. Elijah's frame of mind at this point in time was not in a, not in a position or not in the right frame of mind to correctly reason from cause to effect, if you will. He wasn't in a mental state that reproof and correction would have benefited him.
He was exhausted.
Amen. He was exhausted. He may have been at the point of death. So pointing out his sins at that point in time would not have been the best case to do. So God instead focused on his health. Get his health back. And his mental state will be better. So when we recognize that someone has blundered, maybe big time. Yeah, amen. He was fragile. There's a proper time for pointing out of sin, and then there's an improper time for doing so. So, because the angel didn't reprove Elijah at this point, didn't mean that Elijah did not sin. It didn't mean that that pointing out sin was unimportant. It was. But the timing was not right. And this is God that sent the messenger there, sent the angel. So God himself recognized that Elijah's state of mind was not at the case or not at the point in which reproof and correction would have benefited him. There was something more important to take care of first, and that was his health. Any other thoughts or comments?
I wonder if the angel waited 5 hours or 6 hours between meals giving him food.
Well, let's see here. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Elijah had partaken of the refreshments.
That's what I'm saying.
After Elijah had partaken of the refreshment prepared for him, he slept again. A second time the angel came, touching the exhausted man. He said with pity and tenderness, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink. And in the strength of that food, he was able to journey 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God, where he found refuge in a cave.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Sister Dot. Loud and clear, dear sister. So Elijah slept. It doesn't say how many hours he slept, but you would think that it would be several hours. And if he's exhausted, it may have been 10 or more hours. So I think there's your 5 and 6 hours, dear brother. So God sent the angel again to Elijah with more baked cakes and more water. And the reason was because the journey is too great for thee. What does that mean?
Well, after all of the running and he was physically, mentally exhausted. So he needed rest, which he got, and then he got food. And I'm sure in that heavenly food, there was everything that his body needed. And he was able to make the journey. Otherwise, he would have failed again.
Amen. So we see here that God's love for Elijah was also including Elijah's health. And God recognized that all the exertion of physical and mental power through the last 2 days was such in which Elijah's health was in danger of failing. So he was given, you can look at this as manna, bacon on the coals, heavenly bread, and water from heaven as well. And that restored Elijah's health, but not completely. And so after he had slept again, rejuvenating the body, he was given more of the heavenly manna and the heavenly water. So Elijah had broken the 8 laws of health. He was intemperate, and God gave him the necessary food and the necessary rest in order to build back up his system. And just 2 meals of heavenly bread and heavenly water not just restored Elijah's constitution, it enabled him to travel 40 days and 40 nights just in the strength of that 2 meals. Quite amazing. That's what heavenly manna and heavenly water can do for you. Enable you to do things you would not otherwise be able to do on just earthly food and earthly water. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Amen. I was looking at Deuteronomy 9, verse 18. It says about Moses talking. He says, I fell down before the Lord as at the first, that's verse 9 of the same chapter, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So he only did a bit of walking, Moses, depending how high it is up. But Elijah did a lot more, but it happened twice to Moses, and he was in the presence of God, so the effects of hunger did not affect him like our dear Lord Jesus when he was alone in the desert with water.
Amen. Amen. And it shows you that God created our body system. God then can bless the little amount of food we may eat to enable our health to maintain itself for many days just based on that one meal. There are some individuals that believe they have to have 3 full meals of food a day in order to have health. Well, here we see that Elijah had 2 meals and he went 40 days just on those 2 meals. And that was because God was sustaining him. So if God could sustain Elijah for 40 days on 2 meals, then God can sustain your life if all you have is a speck of bread. For instance, you may be in a jail. You may be in a dungeon. You may be out in the wilderness where all you may have is just a piece of bread or perhaps a leaf off of a bush or a tree that you know is good for food. When you pray over that food and you ask God to bless it, God can bless it in such a way that you won't need to eat any other food for a long time. So the idea that you have to eat 3 square meals a day in order to live doesn't pan out with manifesting faith in God's ability to bless your simple food to sustain you. Yeah, amen. Amen. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amen. Most of you have heard of stories, horror stories of Christians that were jailed because of their faith. Being in jail or being in dungeons, depending on how far back in history you go. And being able to live on the meagerest of food. How were they able to subsist on such meager rations and survive for years? It was only because of God blessing their meager supply, their meager allowance, and enabling it to sustain their life. He had a work for them to do. And so no matter how little food they may have, God was going to preserve their life. You know, it's the same with herbs for healing. We all know that various plants have specific chemicals or properties that favor a particular part of the body or system of the body and can bring about relief. Comfrey is good for mending broken bones, okay? But let's say that you have a particular ailment, but you can't come across or can't obtain any of the herbs that are specific for that particular body part or system. Does that mean you don't take any herbs? Or does that mean that whatever herbs you may have on hand, even though it may not be specific for that body part, you take and you ask God's blessing upon it for healing? And I think it has to do with who you believe heals you. Do you believe the herbs heal you? Or do you believe that God heals you through those simple remedies. If you believe God heals you through the simple remedies, then if you don't have specific remedies, you take what you have because God is able to bless it. He's the one that heals you. So it's the same with food. If you believe God can bless the food to supply the nourishment your body needs, even though the food is not as much as your stomach would like it to be, then manifest faith in God's ability to maintain your health on the little. I mean, God can defeat enemies through little or great amount of people. So then God can defeat the enemy of your spiritual life or the enemy of your physical life through little as well as much. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? So that was some food that the angel had given Elijah. But we know it was God's blessing of the food. It wasn't the food itself. Yeah, superfood. Well, next time we'll pick it up in chapter 13, where finally God is able to reason with Elijah. God's merciful kindness is perfect, dear ones. Exactly what each individual needs. And his timing is perfect as well. So we'll find out more next time. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs, or requests? Please feel free.
How about the song Amazing Grace? And I'm not sure I can sing it right now, so someone else can start it.
Oh, sis, that was the one I was thinking about singing to my mom today. I can't think of any particular song except that one, probably the most well-known.
You know, they say,
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will be me home.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Amen. Grace that is amazing indeed. And love that is amazing as well. And this hymn, Love Divine, spells that out. Love divine, all loves excel. Nope, I'm off. Would someone
love
like
to say? Divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure and precious, visit us with thy salvation, enter every humble heart. Amen.
Amen, and thank you. Breathe, oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find that perfect rest. Take away our bent to sinning. Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty.
Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy light receive. Suddenly return and never Nevermore thy temples leave. Thee would be always blessing, serve thee as our host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Finish then thy new creation, pure and loving let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, and we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. Salvation based and founded upon love for us and our love for him. Any other songs, thoughts, comments? Please feel free, dear ones. We were talking about faith, and this hymn is appropriate. My faith looks up to thee. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine.
May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. Mind still inspire as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee changeless be a living fire.
While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tear away. No, let me ever stray from thee aside.
When ends life transient dream, when death's cold soul and stream shall o'er me roll, bless Savior, come in love, fear and distress remove. Oh, raise me safe above, a ransomed soul. Amen. What a Savior we have, dear ones. Are there any last thoughts or comments, songs or requests or testimonies you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead.
I think the song selections were perfect, right on. Thank you so much, everyone, for your input.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Just an update on my dear mum. We had a family home. We had a family meeting at the hospital and, this Wednesday, and, it's been decided that mum would be better off at a nursing home. And if possible, she's got very little time. She might be taken to where she was living. So I'm going to, Lord willing, I saw her, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Lord willing today, I'm actually hoping to sing to her. She doesn't know that, but I almost feel like you don't want to wear out your welcome being around her. Like she doesn't, you know, constant smiling, which is good. And then she smiles back. She even let me take a picture of her. I said, oh, there you go. And, but she's got that, she said to me the last time I saw her, she said, oh, well, thank you for coming. And, she was shocked I was there. Like, oh, shouldn't you be at work? I said, well, you're nearby work. I was up to Belmont and I thought I'd swing by and see you. So, spent a while with her and she said, oh, well, you'll come back in a few days, right? And I said, would you like that? And she said, yeah. And so a few days is today. And, I don't know how long she's in Midland and, which is closer to us, but I know, of course, we don't know how long any of us have got. And I just hope that, say the right things like we should anyway, regardless if someone's on their, you know, possibly their deathbed, and I hope it goes well. I'm going to say happy Sabbath, Mum. I don't think I've ever said that to her. I don't think she said it to me either. I mean, she's never seemed to have had it, enjoyed a Sabbath of the Lord today, but I've told her about it. I've even visited her on Sabbath years ago on that. Thank you, sis. And so I'm hoping, I can't give her a hug because she's so weak. Her friend has talked to me about, well, it's an interesting conversation. I was just telling Lucy. Lucy wasn't going to be here today. And, she wasn't up to it. And I said, well, if you change your mind, I could always pick you up, you know? And, cause she started to drive again, you know, this little Miss Independent. And then her friend, a longtime family friend, rings up and I haven't talked to her in long time. I only saw her at Mum's birthday when she turned 70 last year. And, we must have had a 3-hour conversation. And she said a lot of things and she had a lot of flattery to say. I said, well, you remember what I told you when I last saw you about that? The Bible has a lot to say about it, but it's not positive. I said, so you just, and she listens, but I don't think she takes it. But she continues to do it about everyone, not just toward me. And we talked about so many things, and I quote a scripture now and again, and just some of the things she said, I said, wow, I didn't know that about you, Tanya. I mean, You know, I wasn't brought up a Christian and she wasn't either, but she said, oh, but we were just talking back and forth. So many things, state of the dead, why we're in the mess, the state of the world that we're in and that. And she was just saying she's had a lot of experience with people that are dying. And Tanya talks about, well, I'm just concerned your mum doesn't know where she's going. She's going to go on, James. She's got, you know, she's talking like this. And I said, I let her talk that I said, well, you know, I've been sharing her the hope that Jesus gave. And she said, oh yes, love, but not the hope you're mentioning. It's just the timing. She doesn't understand the resurrection, unfortunately. A lot of Christians don't. But, I was just sharing that and we were 3 hours and I was running late. But I had to, there's so many things you can do over the phone while you're talking to someone. Even brushing your teeth. Anyway, I didn't do that, but it was really good. I don't know when I'm going to see her again, but she gave me a lot of tips about talking to mum and that, and things you could say and do with her. And I'll leave out the doctrine part because that's deceptive. And she recognizes that, the lady as well. I said, well, you know, it's not me. I'm not judging. They're not my commandments. They're not Moses' commandments. She said, oh, we shouldn't judge. She's talking about my brother and sister that want to follow a lifestyle. I said, well, you know, I accept that they should choose that, but I will be living a lie to say something I know they're not. So I won't press it on them, but they understand it because it's the truth. You have to live a lie. They know it's very hard. And I said, but I said to her, Tanya, you know, I'm a male, right? And I said to her, I shared with one of my brothers that wants to be the opposite sex. I said, you know, Tanya, I'm a male and I find the opposite sex very attractive. And I said, now there's a line. There's one thing recognizing beauty, but there's a line if you want to go to bed with them and then don't have to be your wife. I said, now we're born with that. There's nothing to matter marriage and that, but I said, there's that line. And I said, so if Johnny were right in it, and what they're pursuing, I'm going to be right. But it's not right, is it? It's not right. It's committed adultery. And it's no different, the urge that people have or passions. It doesn't mean it's right just because they're thinking it. And I said, thousands of years this sin has been committed, but they couldn't cut off perfectly good organs and still live, as far as I know. I don't know. Egyptians did do surgery. But I said, so you know what they did? They used to dress up in the opposite sex. And then they go with the same sex, you know, they're called transvestite today, but they say it's a different category today to transgender. And she talked about that. She said that, you know, I don't think we should judge. And I said, do you realize you just judged? I said, so it's about how you judge. We all judge doing it right now, but it's how you do it. Is it you using the word of God or? There's so many things that I say at God because she'd say something. I go, wow, is this lady asking to be preached to, and whether she knows I am or not? I was just sharing it with her and that. And she was encouraging at times. And I hope she herself gets right with God because there's so much she's missing out on. She shared her doubt about the Bible. I said, do you see that kind of effect that'll have? We both claim to be Christians, but you think there's lots of contradictions in the Bible? I said, I grant you, superficially reading definitely looks like that. But when you take one subject and look at the whole 66 books of the Bible with the help of a concordance and other spiritual devotions, you'll come to see, oh, wow, there's a harmony here. Over 1,600 years, over 40 authors, and there's a harmony in the message, and it's the same, and it is God is love. And I shared with her that so one of the things she was trying to enforce upon me is, oh, you know, your mum, she's a favorite in heaven. You know, this flattery and that. I said, well, I tell you what, I've got even something better. You're God's favorite as well, Tanya. We're all his favorites. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. She'd often cut into while I was speaking. I sense she didn't like to hear it, but at other times she gave me a bit of leeway. But, time and again, she just said similar things like that. And I was trying to help her see that unconditional love, God is. He even loved Satan. Before, you know, he was Lucifer, but he became Satan, adversary. But I said, but that's not unconditional salvation. There's conditions for salvation. And that's something she does not understand. And like the lady I told you I met 2 weeks ago, Diane, trying to convince me, oh no, I can't fall now. Past, present and future sins are all forgiven. That's why they got the attitude, old wine, new wine, no wine. Say, brother, do my sins, it doesn't matter. It sounds good in the sense the unconditional factor of God's love toward our waywardness, but it's not salvational. And that's the mix-up that I think my dear friend, family friend, has also blessed to talk to her and for Lucy to want to come up. I gave her the news, but I might be seeing Mum. So hopefully I'll see you in the afternoon after we go a little later after this. So thank you for keeping it in prayer. I really do hope I can sing to Mum, and I'm glad Joan picked that song. I think that'll be the song I'd like to sing if she doesn't feel uncomfortable. And hopefully put a smile on her face. Just smiling at her, she smiles back. You don't ask questions. You don't keep looking. You don't stare at her. If she stares at you, you smile. It's really a good experience because you're sad at one point, but you're happy at the other that she's smiling. And I think just to let her know how appreciated she is that she's gotten this far. There's some things Tanya shared. I thought, oh wow. You know, Mum, I think, regrets she didn't do something earlier. I told some of my family members, well, you know what to do when you've got a problem, like Mum, don't you? You don't put it off. Do something about it. Make sure something's happening about it. Just don't wait until I've got to go to the ambulance and end up in hospital. I mean, Mum would have just died at home probably happily, but I'm so glad God allowed her to go to hospital, so it's given us time to be able to talk with her more and get to know her more. And hopefully share how much we love her and bring back good memories and hold out the Savior. I said to Lucy I'd like to read John 11 to her, talking about the hope of the resurrection, and John 14, 1 to 3, and perhaps Isaiah 66 about the Sabbath on the new earth, and just keep linking it, you know, one sentence after the another. I often do that with strangers because I'm afraid they're going to shut the door or that. But it's amazing. The same thing happens with people you've known all your life, but it's on a subject that they don't know or they don't understand or they haven't followed all their life or they're not into it. And so with the help of God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I thank you for keeping in prayer. I am blessed. And whatever happens, that God's salvation will be seen. Not only the hope for Mum held out to him, but everyone who's coming to see her and my family and extended family. And I will, well, I can't give her a hug for you, but I'll give her a kiss for you. Oh, by the way, Sister Lynn, are you still there? Yeah. Any word with your dear auntie and, you know?
Interestingly enough, dear brother, we did hear from my cousin this evening and another cousin as well. They did finally put a date for May the 11th, and they will be doing a Zoom as well. He's going to be sending me that information, and so we're looking forward to that. And at least now they have a date. And even though it's been how long after my aunt passed, but I guess they can preserve the body until then, because he did say that they were not going to be cremating her. So we shall see. I'll keep you guys posted by God's grace. Thank you for asking, dear brother. Keeping your dear mom in prayer. I'm so sorry to know that she's, you know, going through this and you all are going through that. I truly understand how that is, dear brother. Absolutely. Big hugs to you, yes. Hugs to you too, dear Sister Lucy. And, hi, sweetie. So, yeah, we just keep each other in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Definitely keeping all things in prayers. And it's wonderful to have brothers and sisters that you can share your needs and sorrows with, and recognize that they can lift you up in their prayers and can send hugs and sympathizing thoughts to be with you all. Praise God again for allowing us to have this this fellowship. Are there any other thoughts that you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead. So next time we'll find out how God deals with Elijah once he reaches that cave after traveling 40 days and 40 nights on those two meals. It's quite amazing how God finally reaches his heart. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. And who would like to have closing prayer for our service?
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of another reading through Prophets and Kings. It's so fascinating to see the character building steps that your faithful children have gone through that gives us a lot of courage in this fallen world of the Savior's saving power personally received and the effect it can have on other individuals, on one's family, on one's society, nation, and internationally as it continues to do this day, the Bible. From the Middle East, wherein most of the events occurred. We thank you for allowing us to talk back and forth with these over the internet. And we uphold dear souls in the Valley of Decision, or didn't realize they were in the Valley of Decision and perhaps have just come to it, or they're about to enter it, that they might see that it, your love, your plan of redemption through Jesus, in by through him, the plan of salvation is conditional, but the conditions are fantastic. Give ourselves to you with our sins that have hurt ourselves and others and our Creator. And he will give us a new life, new motives, power to live above sin and be faithful unto the end and be able to be among those whom Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you so much for blessing Sister Susan and Sister Lynn and Sister Dot to hear from family members just recently, and that they have born them and others in mind to make available the online facility. And as I understand, it's in the SDA church that the hearts of SDAs and non-SDAs and other denominations or no faith that are likely to come, that they will come and they would be blessed to hear and understand something of the truth, that they could, those precious seeds that of truth that can't be tarnished, they don't go rotten because of its source, that it will take place, in person or not. And thank you for already blessing me, because your word is used whether we're in person or not, and even when such a sad event like someone's death takes place, you have words for that too, that makes sense of things. Please help my sisters and brothers in my own family and others' families that perhaps are not Christians, or perhaps even might be Christians and are blaming God, attempted to be even despondent, that if God's real, why doesn't he say, to help them understand, help me help them understand, help us all help dear ones that think it's God's fault, to realize that you're not the author of sin, you're not the author of suffering, misery, and death. that the devil is, the first sinner in the universe who introduced it through our first parents, and we prove our love for it when we've done it ourselves, and that there's a plan of redemption, and that that's why we need saving, and there's only one name whereby we must be saved. It's under no other terms or conditions except through and by him and his word, being born of the Spirit and of the water, cleansing and becoming a new person. That is good news, that people don't need to commit suicide in the idea that if an afterlife's real, I'll have a new life then, that now is the day of salvation. Salvation from self, salvation from sin in all its forms, that even people like who aren't happy with who they are in terms of agenda, they might realize the plan of salvation is to them too. It's for them too. And it's not that they would be Christians if they had what they wanted. Every one of us have said that. If I could just hold on to this sin, I'll be a Christian. That's how good you are. Thank you for not withholding what we need to hear. Not giving us a false love, not giving us a sentimental love, and forgetting us and being an unloving father to not show us that we need reproof, correction, instruction, that the man and woman and child of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, rightly dividing the word of truth, that is, from your lips. Thank you for this living reality, that man and woman does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth is a reality to all who will start trusting instead of blaspheming and unbelieving in nature. Help us help others help us be the instrument you designed us to be, in a vessel, as we were just reading earlier, of light, love, peace, joy, and to meet each individual where they are with the necessary words of truth, the demeanor, and the earnestness and zeal that your Spirit provides. And thank you for providing abundantly. Bless our brothers and sisters as they head to bed, and for those of us that aren't, to do what we can while the time lasts to make the most of the probation you know is best for us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So, dear ones, until we meet again, go with God, exercise your faith, and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So on my voice. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. I have to find me a replacement one of these days, Bob. I'm not getting my notes.
Oh, you're irreplaceable, dear brother, so you got to keep singing for us.
Got to keep singing.
Hey, Ben.